Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to our last video on God's determination. I believe you're really going to like the way this comes together. So going over our three reasons why we do these videos. Number one, so that God can become very real in your life. And the more real God is, it just goes to say that it'll be easier for you to trust him, to act your faith, if you will, or just step out and believe God. Number three, that you'll have the testimonies from answered prayers to share with others. So before we get into exactly what we're going to get into today, let's go right back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30, which are the verses of scripture in the Message Bible that we always give you to show you that Jesus actually wanted you to have the exact same relationship with his Father. Now, we have the exact same righteousness, the exact same connection to God that Jesus Christ has provided. But walking out this connection, living out your redemption, your righteousness, all these big words, in other words, just enjoying the everyday, day-to-day walking with God is something that you need to get really good at so that you're experiencing God just like Jesus. And so this is what he said. And now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, do you love that invitation? That's something that Jesus spoke directly on your behalf, letting you know that the amazing relationship that he had, that religion has painted as something special for Jesus and Jesus alone, is for you today in the same measure, in the same degree, with the same clarity, the same tangible results, and the same awareness of God in everything you do. That's what Jesus wants for you. So as we get into God's determination, looking at the very last of it, let's go back over the first couple of scriptures we did at the beginning, which is in here, Hebrews chapter 6, 13 to 20. And it says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.'" Remember, God cut the covenant with himself. That way, the covenant would never be broken. It was an unbroken covenant. It was impossible for it to be torn apart by man's sin because God cut the covenant with himself. Now, notice who he spoke on the behalf. He spoke on the behalf of Abraham. So everything Jesus did was with the Father, but he spoke everything on behalf of you and I. This is the beauty about covenant. And he went on to say, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute." Well, man knows how to get into contractual agreements so that each party has to do exactly what they say, and it can be held up in a court of law and make an individual who decides to go back on his promise, make him either do it or pay the penalty. It goes on to say, "Thus God," I love that. So now God gets involved. If man can do this, how much on a greater level can God do this? It says, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly." Take those words. God is determined. That's where this came from. God's determination. God is determined more abundantly to show you something. He's determined to show you with more abundance to the heirs of promise. In other words, I mean, put these words together. It should cause your soul to just rise. I saw these years and years ago, decades ago, and it caused me to go into healing school and to start declaring what God would do and that God was healing people right now. And people would say, "Well, you can't say that." God's determined to show. He's determined to show up. We've got God so determined to hide and to feel insecure. Come on, God, it's okay. You can come out now. Don't worry. The people won't look at you that long. Now, come on, don't treat them like that. God's the one that wants to show up for everybody to see him. Remember show and tell? That's God's game. He wants to show up, and when you see who he is, you're going to go, this is incredible. God, you're awesome. I can't wait to what? Tell somebody. And the more you tell, the more God shows. The more God shows, the more you tell. And now you've got this back and forth volley relationship going on where you've got constant manifestations and demonstrations of God putting on a display for you to declare and show everybody all around you how amazing God is. That's what this is talking about. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. In other words, he was so determined to show you something that he made a contract that could not be broken so that it would give you the audacity of faith to step out beyond yourself and know that God would come to pass and save you, rescue you, heal you, set you free. Even if you stepped on the ice float and it broke away from the shore, and you realize you're so far out now, there's nothing that you can do to get back. You've just got to trust God. Well, welcome to your miracle. That's why God did this. And it went on to say, where it's impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation. That's why he did it, so that you'd have a backbone of steel. We're going to see Abraham do something that, I'm telling you what, it just kind of freaks you out a little bit if you put it even in modern vernacular, to think that you would put your own son or daughter upon an altar and burn them at the altar and watch God raise them back up just because your covenant partner asked you to do so. We're going to see that in a moment. It says, we have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. All of this is hope. The Bible is a book of hope. It's a covenant, an Old Testament and a New Testament, Old Covenant and a New Covenant. And in this covenant, it's a book of hope. God so places himself at your disposal through this covenant that you can trust him to the nth degree. And verse 19 says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. I'm telling you, in the day where your mind freaks out and your body wants to resist what you know you need to do, from the smallest of things to the greatest of things, from the healing to walking at your job in a place where you don't want to go because of the difficulties between you and your coworkers, but you still put yourself in that position, believing in the love of God, which is in you, and your covenant God who will go before you and behind you and make your path straight. Come on, this is the reason why we preach. This is the reason why we've got scriptures. It's the reason why we say things like, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What do we say that for? So we can sit by the shore and ask God to split the sea to help keep us from the Egyptians who are coming against us. Come on, that's the story of Moses. And what did God do to Moses when he acted like that? We're just going to sit here until you do something. God rebuked him and said, you split the sea. Moses said, me? He said, yeah, what's in your hand? And then he realized, oh yeah, the staff. God put his presence in the staff. So what was he saying? Moses, this is for you to do. And while we sit by the shore with all our religion, waiting on God, twiddling our thumbs for him to do something, he gave us a covenant so we'd step right out into the water and dare it to stay the same. And the moment we step into the water and we push ourselves out into that place that seems uncomfortable, that's where God is. I'm telling you, that's where your miracle is. And people don't do this very often. In the day we live, they hardly do it at all because they've got so many creature comforts. They've got so many options with medical science and different things that man has invented. But why not put yourself at God's disposal to live in that realm? That world, that realm, that home. Paul talked about my citizenship is in heaven. That's our home. And he said, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. So in the day where your mind gives you fits and your body wants to recoil, you've got something that will anchor you into the ground. And it'll cause your soul to have to be quiet, to listen and watch. And that is the covenant that will cause you to go beyond even your mind and find God. And it just ends with this, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Well, we shared with you some things from Romans in chapter 4 in the Message Bible, which was so wonderful. It just showed us very simply, this was not an Abraham thing. It was a God story. It was what God was doing on behalf of Abraham, and Abraham didn't have to do a thing. If you'll remember, when God cut the covenant in front of Abraham, this is in Genesis chapter 15. We've already done this a few series back, but I'll just reiterate this thought. God told Abraham, when he had questions about whether or not he'd inherit the land, he told him to go ahead and get the different animals that were necessary for the blood covenant. Well, Abraham didn't just get these animals. He got the animals and he made preparation for the blood covenant. You say, why did Abraham do it? Because he knew exactly what God was getting ready to do when he mentioned the animals in specific that he mentioned. Abraham was very much, in a sense, you could say Abraham was one step ahead of God. And that's what caused God to do what he did with Abraham. When Abraham split those pieces side by side, those animals down into, and placed them in the proper position for the blood covenant, where each partner would walk figure eight around those animals, come back face to face and give the terms to the covenant, have their wrists slit where the blood would then intermingle, and so be it unto me, if I ever break this covenant, I shall be put to death. But I give you my word, everything that is mine is yours, and yours is mine, and here are the terms to the covenant. That's what God did on behalf of Abraham, but he couldn't use Abraham, and Abraham was trying to shoo the vultures off that meat. And God said, you know, Abraham's in the way. He's going to try to get in the way. He's trying to help me out. We don't need his help. We just need him to embrace what we do, to trust in what we've done for him. So we put him into a deep sleep. Does that not help you to understand? This thing wasn't about what Abraham did. It was about what God did for Abraham. And Abraham just trusted God to do what Abraham couldn't do himself. How many things today can you not do for yourself? Well, it's time to trust God. Well, this is where we are now over in Hebrews chapter 11, Message Bible 17 to 19. Let me read it. It says, by faith, Abraham. This is the faith chapter, you know, where everybody is listed for what they did as they believed God. By faith, Abraham, at the time of testing, offered Isaac back to God. Acting in faith, he was as ready to return the promised son, his only son, as he had been to receive him. And this, after he had already been told, your descendants shall come from Isaac. Abraham figured that if God wanted to, he could raise the dead. In a sense, that's what happened when he received Isaac back alive from off the altar. So this is what we're going to say. We're going to say it quickly here. When it says Abraham received Isaac in a figurative sense, that's exactly what happened. Abraham figured it out. He took the covenant of which cannot be broken. The words that were spoken on his behalf that he would have a son. And yes, did it come to pass? Absolutely came to pass. Just like God said, in the timing that God said it would happen. All Abraham did was, is he just rested in the fact that if God's doing this on my behalf, the least I can do is trust him to do it. No matter what it looks like, no matter what I feel, I put myself in a position where I can't go back, where I trust God, and he does the doing while I do the trusting. That's what Abraham did. And Isaac was born. Well, now he's of age, and God says to him, take your son, your only son, which of course symbolism is Jesus Christ was God's only begotten son. Take your only son on a three-day journey. Well, three-day journey would be Jesus in the heart of the earth. Up onto a mountain and sacrifice him. Put the wood on the altar and sacrifice him. Of course, Jesus was on the wood, the cross, which was the wood, and he was sacrificed for the whole world. God raised him up on the third day. You see all the symbolism here. In a sense, you could almost say God was seeing if his covenant partner Abraham would follow through based on the covenant with what he asked him to do, which would then bind God to have to follow through on what he ultimately said from the very beginning of time, that the lamb would be slain from the foundation of the world. It's all there, folks. It's all there. So now God speaks to Abraham, and Abraham just tells Isaac, hey, we're going on a three-day journey. Let's get going. And he gets the wood, and he has a pack mule, and he has a servant, and they take off for the mountain that they might make their sacrifice. And when they get to the mountain, you can kind of figure it out. I mean, what about if Isaac was saying, hey, Dad, what are we getting ready to do? Well, son, it's just all going to work out perfectly. You watch. You just hold on. We're going to make a sacrifice. God's going to bless it, and it's going to be amazing. Of course, he didn't say you're going to be the sacrifice. But when he left the servant at the bottom of the mountain, he said, the son and I are going to the mountain to worship, and we will be back. What gave him the right to say we will be back? Well, remember, he remembered God said, from Isaac your son shall be a multitude of nations. So that means that God planned on his seed Isaac and the continuation of generations being what would bring Jesus even to the heart of the earth. And of course, then we, as the sons of God who trust in him, would continue to perpetuate this message of God's divine love and grace. Well, all right, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Abraham figured it out. What did he figure out? If God asks me to sacrifice him, and yet God has before brought Isaac through the covenant as the promised seed, then the only thing that can happen, and I've got my hand here and I'm figuring it out, the only thing that can happen is once I obey my covenant partner, I will stand back and watch him put my son back together, ashes to ashes, bone to bone, flesh to flesh, and my son will be perfectly alive. God will have to do it. This is the strength of the covenant. Can you hear what I'm saying? He didn't say, when God said, Abraham, take your son, your only begotten son, he didn't say, whoa, time out. God, what are you asking me to do? He didn't question God. He didn't doubt. He didn't fuss. He wasn't full of anxiety. He was in covenant with God, and he instantly obeyed, and he figured it out on the way. What was getting ready to happen was he would sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac would be brought. We say, how do you know he was going to sacrifice Isaac? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the passage? How many times did God say Abraham's name to get him to stop when the knife was in the air and he was going to thrust it into his son to complete the assignment? Once? No. If he said once, then we'd all think, well, Abraham was waiting for the first part of his name. Hey, yeah, Lord. No, God said, Abraham. And then how did he say it the second time? Abraham! Why? Because he was going to do it. Come on, when you see your kid near the street, you say, Johnny, Johnny! You got to get their attention, which means he was actually going to do it because he had it figured out that in covenant, you can take yourself past your own ability and past your mind and go right to the heart that God will back you up every time. I can't say this strongly enough, everybody. I want to say it stronger. I don't want to scare you on the video. I don't want to scare anybody in the house. This is where boldness comes in. Hey, a real quick little story here. This is awesome. From a dear lady named Dawn. This is so good. She said, I want to thank you for your stories and teachings on grace. They have completely changed my family's life. It's so hard to narrow down the stories to tell you, but here are just a few, and I'm just going to read one. It says, a while ago, I pulled up to a drive-thru and ordered food for my family, and I wanted a turtle ice cream sundae. But I decided not to order one just to save money. You know what it gets like nowadays? These things cost like $6, and if you got a whole family, you're paying $40 for ice cream. When I paid at the window, they handed me the turtle sundae that I thought of ordering, but never spoke it out loud. I was shocked, and I said, I didn't order this. They said, oh, our mistake. You keep it if you like it. So I kept it. And I knew it was grace. Come on, folks. Come on. You can't make this stuff up. When you're hanging out with Jesus, he just does things for you. He does things for you. One thing to the next, you begin to see the love of your Father. Wow. Well, go to Adventures in Grace YouTube channel and subscribe. Bring people there. They need to hear this. They'll get testimonies too. It's Christianity made simple. Then you can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page, but by for sure on our website, jimhockaday.com, sorry. You want to go to the email, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com, and send us your grace stories. We want to share these. It's going to get so real here in the days and weeks to come. So many stories are going to come in that we'll have to take a whole session just to do story after story after story. Love you guys. We'll see you next. Hey, God's really determined to show you something more abundantly than you could ever imagine.